Man, hello, Longview. Kelso, where are we? We're somewhere, right? It's good to be here. I think we're in Longview, right? In Columbia Heights. It's good. Man, I do want to just say it's so fun to be here because I do have friends here. Long time history with so many people in this church. My wife and I pastor a church in Tri-Cities, Washington, and it's dry and sunny there, and it's where God lives. And he visits here once in a while, but he lives in Tri-Cities, and so it's a really great place. And I'm here with my buddy Jeff, who is on my staff, came up with me for this trip, and it's really fun to be here. I just want to appreciate the donees first, the pastors of the church, the previous, but still on staff. We still love you. You're not dead. But, the donees. We did youth camps with them way back in the day when I was a youth, and I appreciate their heart, and I love Josh and Jill. Jill was just killing it up here today. Like, that gal can sing, put her on The Voice, and that'd be awesome. But it was a great time. Josh is, as he said, we've been good friends. And also, I have a little connection. I got a pastor in as an associate or helper pastor or whatever in Vancouver, Washington for a lot of years. And some of you that maybe have been around longer would remember the name Dave Miner. He was in the same church I was at in Vancouver, Washington for a long time. And we now have his grandson at our church. And so anyway, it's just an honor to be here and hang out with you, see some friends from college, Mark and Mike. And man, and I saw Bill in the bathroom. We had an awkward moment there. That was great. And just some of my best, funnest memories of my life are from my days in college with you guys. So it's really, really good to see you guys. Not Bill so much, but the other ones. Now, Bill is wonderful. I'm going to give you a message today that's on my heart to share with you as a church called Influence and Irony. And I want to share something that God kind of put on my heart just a few weeks ago. And I really felt strongly like I was supposed to share this with you guys. So thanks for staying and listening. All the children left, and so they didn't want to hear this. That's fine. We'll go with you guys. I think that one of the most important things that can happen in our life is when we get our identity really clearly defined and spoken to us. And some of us, are you okay if I move this up to where I feel like I'm going to fall off? I feel very far away. Sorry about your new paint. And so I think it's really important when, like when you have children, I have three children, and really letting them know not just their name, but like what they're good at and what they're going to be in life and speaking those kinds of things into them. And there was a like third grade class I remember, and the teacher on opening day has all the students kind of sit down and introduce themselves and, hey, what's your name? And then what does your mom or your dad do for work? And so the kids are going around saying, my mom works at Safeway. My dad is a carpenter or whatever. And they get to little Johnny, and the teacher goes, Johnny, what do you want to tell us about yourself? And what does your dad do? And he says, my dad's a magician. And she says, oh, that's really interesting. What's his best trick that he does? And Johnny says, he saws people in half. She goes, oh, wow, that is amazing. She says, do you have any brothers or sisters? And he says, yeah, I have two half-sisters. And I thought it's really good to kind of know who you are. One of the really quick story about children and identity. We have Austin and Nolan and Abby. And my youngest just went to homecoming last night. She's a senior in high school. And it's just our world has changed because everybody's leaving our house. But we've got one more year with Abby. Anyway, when we were pregnant with Abby, I remember that Lisa was laying on our bed and probably 8 months pregnant. And Nolan, who would be the youngest at that moment, comes walking in the room. But I was laying kind of T-boned to Lisa, and I was speaking to Lisa's stomach and going, hi, Abby, this is your dad, and you're going to live at home till you're 35. Just saying loving things while she's there, because they say that the baby can hear the voice of the parent. And so I was doing that. Nolan comes in, and he's just bug-eyed, and he says, Dad, what are you doing? And he's only 3 and a half, 4 years old. I said, I'm speaking to your baby sister. And he goes, can I try it? And I said, absolutely. So he's bug-eyed. He crawls up on the bed. He goes right up to Lisa's head, opens her mouth, and goes, this is your brother Nolan. Which is better than the alternative, right? So that was good, And I think it's really good for us to speak about identity and know who we are and things. I got a chance this summer to go away for 6 weeks and take a kind of a sabbatical break from work, and it was really an amazing time. And one of the great things that happened is God really spoke to me about my life and who I am, and that was very powerful. And I want to share with you today a scripture and a few thoughts about it, and I want to like just have God speak to us as a church family today. Can I just be a part of your church today? I want God to speak to say yes. Thanks. I want God to speak to us about who we are and our identity today. And what does the Bible teach us about that? Before I dive into the scripture, one thing that I remembered reading a book this summer, and the author said this. He said, if you think about all the epic stories, all the great novels, any of the great movies that you've ever seen, they all have a turning point in the movie, and that turning point oftentimes is the same no matter what story or what genre you're reading or what movie you're watching. It's when the hero really finds out who they really are. And at that moment, it's a turning point for them. All right, with that, I want to read to you a place in the Bible. It's, I don't know everybody's story, and so maybe not everybody's really familiar with the Bible. There was letters written to people and letters written to churches. One of the letters written to people was written from a guy named Paul, who was essentially like a pastor, and he's writing to a young guy named Timothy, who's also a pastor. And in his first letter to him, he says a lot of things. We're going to get to that letter in a minute. But I want to tell you the story of how Paul and Timothy met. And this is in Acts chapter 16. And it's this incredible story as Paul, the older guy, is going around. I think they'll put it on the screen for us. Acts chapter 16. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. And his mother, Timothy's mother, was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. And Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, which Iconium, I looked this up because I didn't know, but it's about a 20-mile distance from Lystra, and it's quite a walk because they didn't have cars back in those days, but he was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. There's a screen right here. This is beautiful. So Paul wanted him to join them on their journey, which is an incredible offer. Paul, this established pastor guy, says, hey, young Timothy, why don't you join us on the world tour? And then the rest of it reads this way. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. And then they went from town to town, and they instructed the believers to follow the decisions that were made by the apostles and the elders that were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they grew larger every day. Now, it's an incredible story about how Paul meets Timothy and then takes him on the tour bus, and they go and get to preach everywhere else, and they come back to a place where the churches grew larger every day. I want to read through this one more time and just pick up on a couple subtleties. Are you ready to read through it one more time? Let's go back to the first screen of this scripture. Paul went first to Derbe, then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer. His father was a Greek. And Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. So Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left. That was very kind, actually, if you think about for Paul to like, hey, let's take care of this now. Wonderful. Thank you for coming. Arranged for that because everybody knew that Timothy's father was a Greek. And they went from town to town. They instructed the believers to follow the decisions that were made by the apostles and the elders at another city in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they grew larger every day. Man, I love that. All right, I have a thing here. This is a banana from my hotel, okay? So this banana cannot decide what color it is. You can't tell, but it's not quite yellow. It's partially yellow, partially green, and partially brown. But it's essentially an unripe banana, but I grabbed this banana because I remembered back in February, I got to go on a trip to Hawaii, which is a wonderful place. And we got to go to a fresh food market. And I love the fruit in Hawaii. Would you raise your hand if you've ever been to Hawaii? Has anybody here been there? Ha, it's so great. I remember the first time I got to go, my parents paid for us to go to Hawaii with them. And we went there, and my mom says, we need to go down to the fresh fruit market. They're open today. And get some fresh fruit. Now, at that point, I was only like 30 years old. Not a huge fruit fan necessarily. So I'm like, nah, let's not do that. And my mom goes, no, this will change your life. So we go down to the fruit stand. And the guy goes, do you want regular bananas? Or do you want strawberry bananas? Or these other like coconut flavored bananas? And I'm like, are there free samples? Come on, somebody. I've been to Costco. I know what to do. So they give me some free samples. And I remember tasting these bananas. And the bananas that were picked ripe or picked fresh as they had ripened on the vines and stuff. I was like, these bananas are awesome. And then they gave me like mango and some other fruits and stuff. And I was like, this is incredible. I said, these bananas don't taste normal. Like these are incredible. And the guy goes, no, these are normal bananas. This is what they taste like. The ones you're eating, where are you from? I said, you know, Washington State. He says, the ones you're eating aren't normal. They're picked when they're green. They're shipped in a bus. He go, you know, and they ended up looking like this. He said, those aren't normal, but this is how bananas are supposed to taste. And I was just like, mind blown at how good these bananas were. And I was like, wow. And I just want to say something to you about your faith today. That sometimes we get used to store-bought Christianity, church Christianity, what we've been used to, but maybe there's more. Maybe God's normal for Christianity tastes better. It's fresher. It's got more flavors. It's something you want to share with people. Maybe God's normal is different than the normal we've experienced. And a lot of times we'll put up with stuff because we just go, oh, that's the way it's been. But what if there's more for us that God has for us? So I want to really kind of push us towards God's normal. And here's what God's normal is. God's normal is that the churches would be strengthened in their faith and grow larger every day. That's God's normal. Is that it's so good, the message of who Jesus is that the churches are strengthened and they grow every day. That's God's normal. You can say amen. So this is good. You can say that sounds nice. I'm telling you that God's normal might be better than what we've experienced, but it's still God's normal. When I go through my life, I'm kind of passionate about just a few things. I love my wife and my family, of course, but I'm passionate about Star Wars and Costco, and I just love those two things. They're just, you know, I have a small tattoo back here. Anyway, it's not a big deal. I'm also passionate about who Jesus is outside of being a pastor. Like, I just love the person of Jesus in my life. And he's impacted my life in so many different ways and so many different times. And that one of the things that I'm probably most passionate about, even more than Costco or Star Wars, is being able to share about with another human being the goodness of what Jesus has done in my life, being able to talk about that with somebody else. And I love that, and I'm passionate about it. And I don't know if you've ever been in a spot in your life where you get burned out and you're peopled out. Have you ever felt like, if I see another human being, I'm going to punch somebody in the throat? Has anybody ever been peopled out? It's okay to admit that. Just come on, therapy session today. I get that way, and I probably got that way and felt it the most like January through May of this year than I've ever felt that before. You know, it's kind of at a burnout stage, and that's partly why my team said, hey, you need to go on a sabbatical and come back nice. So I did. I got rested up and all that. But I remember before I went on my break this summer, I have a Walmart right by my store, and I like the Walmart. But inevitably, whenever I go to Walmart, I would see people I know. And so people know that I'm a pastor, and so they would see me, and I'd be like, just like looking at, you know, hot peppers and melons and cucumbers, and they'd be like, Pastor! And I'd be just be like, and they'd be like, hey, would you pray for my cat? It has asthma and eczema. And I'm like I just want to buy my melons, you know, and go home. And so I started literally going into Walmart by my house on when I needed to buy with my hoodie on. I don't ever wear hoodies. But I'd find a hoodie, put it on, and put glasses on. I don't want to see anybody. And I just was kind of like wanted to be away from people, which is not normal for me. And I remember coming back from my break and felt very rested. And I was ready to kind of reengage. And the night before, I'm going to go back to work on Tuesday. On that Monday night, I'd go down to Walmart to buy some stuff. And I remember getting out of my car and shutting the door. And we'd traveled a little bit, so we hadn't even been in Kennewick for a while. And I remember getting out, and I'm seeing people shut their car doors, and I'm seeing traditional Walmart people come on from the websites. And I'm like seeing these people walk around, and something in my heart goes, these are my people. This is my city. And I'm like, this is amazing. And I just started to go, God, I love sharing about you with people. And I just started watching people. I'm standing in the parking lot with my basketball shorts on and my Star Wars t-shirt and my flip-flops. And I'm like, God, let me meet some of these people. I don't want it to be weird, but like, give me a way to interact with them. I don't know if they have a church that they know about that. Some people like think church is so awful and maybe never want to go in their whole entire life. And I'm like, God, let me meet these Walmart people and let every one of them want to come to my church and hear about how good you are. And just this overwhelming sense of God's presence and his heartbeat for humanity is hitting me. And I'm like, Walmart for the win, Jesus, come on. And I go into the Subway and I buy myself because there's a Subway in our Walmart. And is that normal? And so I'm buying my sandwich and I get my sandwich and I'm literally sitting down and I'm eating my 6-inch turkey with no cheese and no mayonnaise because I'm 49 and I'm having this sandwich and I'm looking out and people are walking out and this guy's rolling his cart with just like all this Keystone beer. And I just thought, man, that is a lot of beer. And I thought, I wonder if he needs help loading that. Like, it's so much beer. And I just remember thinking, like, I wonder if that is going to actually make that guy feel any better in his life. And then, you know, a mom comes by with, like, a baby strapped on her front with some new contraption, like a backwards backpack that they shove babies in now. She had one on her back, one on her front. She had, like, you know, like, what are those things that have a little zipper? A fanny pack. She had one on each side with a baby in it. And, like, she could just pull a baby out, you know. And she just looked stressed out. And I just started going, Jesus, how are they going to know about that? Now, I'm kind of a haunted soul. Like, I drive through my city on the freeways, and I live up on a hillside, kind of like this in a sense, except we're blessed. We don't have trees, so we can see our city. You people, this is claustrophobic here. But in my house, I can see our city, and I oftentimes am literally haunted by this thought, God, how are we going to get the good news to all these people? And so I'm sitting there having this moment in Subway eating my sandwich and just thinking about humanity. And it was like God was just kind of weighing that inside my emotions and my thought process. I ended up sharing that part of the story at my church 2 Sundays ago, I think, maybe 3, about Subway and how I was there and just thinking about God's heart for people. And after the service, a guy comes out, and I always go out on the front porch and just say hi to folks. And this guy comes out, and I hadn't seen him before, and he says, hey, I wanted to meet you. And I said, okay, great, I'm Matt. And he goes, my name's Ricky. And I said, good to meet you. I said, have you ever been to our church before, or have you been here a lot? And he goes, this is my first time. He goes, but you know you're talking about Subway? And I go, yeah. He goes, I was right behind you in line that day. I remember you ordered, you know, whatever kind of sandwich. I said, were you sitting behind me by the drinking fountain with a young lady? He goes, yeah, that was me. He goes, it's really weird that you were saying that stuff because I was there when you were there. And so I don't know what to do at this moment, so I kissed him on the cheek. No, I didn't. I just was like, awesome. But he's ended up coming back to our church every week since then. And then that night, I'm at church. We have several different services. And at the night service, I tell that story again. And then after service, I'm out there, and it's in the parking lot, and people are coming up, and I'm introducing myself and meeting some folks. And this young lady comes up, and she goes, hey, I don't know if you know me. I'm Bree's sister, and I've only been at your church like one time a long time ago. She goes, I felt like I had to come today, and my boyfriend here has never come to church before, except when he was a kid. He went to a Mormon church, and he hated it and never wanted to go to any kind of church ever again, but he came tonight. And I'm like, hey, man, that's cool. Now, I'm checking this guy out, and I remember seeing him in our sanctuary in the back corner, and he's sitting there, and he's got a big, brightly colored MTV jacket. He's got his hat on sideways, and he's got his arm up on the chair, like acting all bad, you know, like staring me down. And, man, when that happens in service, like I'm preaching to you. Like I'm just zeroed in. And I'm just like, man, and he's just like trying to. And so when we go to the end of the service, I gave an opportunity to pray with people who wanted to maybe make their first prayer ever to Jesus and invite Jesus into their life, for them to follow Jesus and become a Christian, if you will. And so I go to do that at the end of the service, and this young man with the MTV jacket, cockeyed hat, he raises his hand and says, pray with me. And I start praying with this kid and several others in the service, and I'm just like, yes. And afterwards, I get to meet this kid, and it's this girl's boyfriend. And he goes, hey, I got to tell you a story. And I go, okay, what? He goes, you know that story about Subway you were telling about? I said, yeah. He goes, I worked there. He goes, I've served you a sandwich before. And I said, I lied a little. I remember you, you know. I said, are you serious? Like the Subway in Walmart on 27th and Quinlan? And he goes, yes, that one. I worked there. I go, come on, man. I said, I got to pray with you tonight, didn't I? He goes, yeah. And so we talked for a few minutes. And I'm just going, what if every Subway, every Walmart, what if every street, every Panera, every coffee shop you go to, what if Jesus sees human beings everywhere and is looking for some of us to find out who we are and share the good news of Jesus with people everywhere? I walk into Walmart now and I'm like, I own this joint. You need a miracle? Come see me. How can I help you? I've just grabbed a blue vest, you know. I can help you. In that haunting of my soul, though, that the burden, that feeling of what life is like for people who don't know God in their life, that literally haunts me night and day. I think about it, and it motivates kind of everything I do in so many ways. And one of the things I've come to a conclusion of in Tri-Cities is this, that I'm not going to be able to preach my way into revival and see my city change. It's not going to happen because I preach better, share more stories, get more tattoos, become cooler, become younger. Impossible. I can't. Like, there's no way to do it. What has to happen in our church is the same thing that has to happen in our church here. We have to have an army and a family of people who go, I'm so enamored with who Jesus is in my life that I'm not going to take it for granted. It's going to be meaningful to the point that I'm willing to and wanting to share it with all the people around me. And when that happens, then we're touching an entire city. And that's my hope for you. And listen, I want to give you some identity today and say there's a lot of roots and a lot of history in this church. And a lot of prayers have been prayed on this property for the city of Longview and the city of Kelso. And God wants to release you into who you are today. And he doesn't want you to settle for hotel bananas. He wants you to settle for God's normal, where he adds to the church on a daily basis. I want to break down that scripture with you for just a few minutes, a few thoughts that God gave me before my time is up here. In verse 1, it says that Paul found a young man, a young disciple named Timothy. And I love that Paul chooses a young person because similar, I suppose, in some ways to our culture today, in that day for sure, the older you were, the more influence and impact you had in church, in society, in the world. And there was a lot more respect in that day for the elders of a city than there is today. But nonetheless, those people kind of ruled. And so for Paul to walk into a city and go, I'm not going to look for the wisest, oldest Yoda in the room. I'm going to actually, that's my Star Wars reference for you for the day. Thank you. He said, I'm going to find a young Timothy. And he finds a young person. It was countercultural. It went against the grain. He goes, I'm going to make you be great. He became a hero maker to Timothy, instead of going, as an older person, I need to make sure that I'm heard and I'm valued and that my things are considered. He goes, no, I'm going to pass on everything I've got to this young person who's going to have a lifespan of sharing the good news. And so he shares it with a young person. And for Timothy, in that culture and in that day, being a young person was a hindrance to him having influence. But in God's eyes, it wasn't a hindrance. It was this thing that actually opened up a door. Let me just say to you ladies that are in the house today. Any ladies in the house? Yeah. Awesome. Listen, if God put a dream in your heart and somebody's ever told you you're just a woman or just this and you can't because you can. Because God can. He can go countercultural. And if God puts something in your heart, he can do what he said he would do. He can do that. Listen, if you're a young person in this room today and you've got a dream to see God do something amazing in your life, don't let somebody go, oh yeah, when you get older, you just start now. And I'm telling you, God will start to lead your steps and God can do something. He chose a young man. And I love that. Paul ends up making Timothy, he has a really special relationship with him. Here is this, it's this cross-cultural change when he puts a young man kind of in charge. And Timothy, what I was telling you earlier, how Paul wrote a letter, here's one of the things that Paul writes to his young mentoree, Timothy. He says, don't let anybody think less of you because you're young. And it's interesting because Paul knew that he had an uphill battle. Timothy ends up becoming a pastor of a church in a city named Ephesus. And he knew that because you are a young person in your culture, in your day, you're going to have an uphill battle. So he says, don't let anybody think less of you because of your youth. Instead, be an example to all the believers in what you say, the way you live, and in your love, your faith, and your purity. And I would just say this to you and to me today, that if we want to have influence with the people around us, it doesn't matter who we are, what gender we are, what our age is. What matters is, are we living our life as an example? And if you begin to go, I'm going to just become radically devoted to knowing everything Jesus said and to try to live that out in my life and love him with everything I got, you'll be an example. And when you do that, God will give you influence in your life. Paul puts Timothy in this position, and what's interesting is that he ends up becoming this pastor of a key church. There was three really kind of big important churches in cities in the first century. There was Ephesus and Antioch and Jerusalem, and Timothy, as a young man, gets put in charge of the church in Ephesus, which is a very influential church. So not only is he's not like put in charge of a small group, he's put in charge of a massive world-changing church. And it's incredible. He also helped co-author six of the books that are in our Bible with Paul. Like, and he gets to go on the tour bus and get free t-shirts and everything. Like, he's going around the world changing it because of his example and because of who he was. And I love that. He chose a young person. And I would just encourage you, listen, as this church has been around for a long time, it's always going to be a challenge, but you're going to have to continue. All of us are going to have to continue to give up our positions of power and hand them over to somebody younger and go, we're going to trust you to run with this. Everybody could say amen. Come on. Amen. Don't pretend like you're sleeping right now. Just like, okay, yeah, I will do that. But we got to start mentoring and handing over things. In verse 2, it says this, that he was well thought of in two cities. And I just imagine Paul like going into one of the cities and he goes, hey, I kind of got like this, an interest in this kid named Timothy, like, what's he like around here? And I'm sure the people in his hometown were like, he's actually a cool kid. And, you know, he's legit. Like, he genuinely does good things. And then some people maybe are from out of town, from Iconium, and they're maybe doing business or trade or whatever, 20 miles away, they're there. And he goes, hey, what's it like? Do you know this kid, Timothy? He goes, oh, yeah, he actually kind of helps us with our business or whatever. And we know him from when we come into town. He's honest. He actually has a deep faith. And he seems to actually kind of stand apart from all the other young people. There was something about Timothy that said that he had a good reputation, not just in one town. Come on, the next town over. Yeah. And when you have a good reputation, it follows you just like a bad reputation follows you. Yeah. And here's the thing I would just say is this, that proven character in your community will lead to big opportunities for the gospel. Yeah. When you begin to just stay and do what's right over an extended period of time, people will start to notice, even though you think they don't. And when you have good character in your community, it opens the door for good opportunities in your life. And I love that. Verse 3 said this, his mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. And this is where I really want to kind of like punch home today with you guys. His mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. Here's an interesting thing about Timothy's life. in that culture in that day, a racially mixed marriage was uncommon. And so what would happen is Jews were encouraged and taught to only marry Jews. And Greeks and all the other different nationalities, I'm sure, primarily married within their own ethnic groups. But for some reason, this Jewish lady, twinkle eyes to Greek man, and they fall in love and get married, and they have a son named Timothy. And so here, Timothy, as he's growing up, probably in that day, it was actually a difficult thing for him and wasn't sure of his own identity because he's Jewish and he's Greek. And he struggles because to the Greek people, he's not Greek enough. And to the Jewish people, he's not Jewish enough. And so he feels like he doesn't know where he belongs and who he really is. And I'm sure that as a young person in that day in particular, he struggled with this. Y'all tracking with me so far? We read over this sometimes like it's just part of the story, but it's an important detail of this story. And here's what happens is he, in his Greek side, I'm sure that he was raised with some Greek ideas from his Greek father. And the way that the Bible tells parts of the story, it's inferred that his father was not a person of faith, but the faith in his family was on his mother's side. And so for the Greek mindset of that day, it was that they were always pulled to brand new ideas. They were believed there was multiple gods, and they had their own MC universe, you know, Marvel universe of all the Greek gods in those stories. And in all those stories, they were taught certain life lessons like, hey, do whatever you want to do. As long as it's in moderation and doesn't really hurt anybody else, you're okay. They were also taught through those stories that life is tragic. People are going to die and bad things happen. And they were taught that you are going to be subject to fate. And what the gods decide about your life is what's going to happen to you. You can't change it. But interestingly, the Greek world was open to other ethnicities. And this was part of Timothy's upbringing on his mother's side. When you go to the Jewish side, he was taught some other things. Primarily that there are 10 rules from God that we will obey no matter what. And to support them, we will invent other rules about those rules. And there are things we do. And Timothy, there's seasons of the year you can't go to your friend's house. It's a party weekend. It's a historical Jewish holiday. And we're going to remember things from the past. And there's things we do on a weekly basis. And there's things that matter because of our faith in God. And there's not multiple gods. There's one God who made everything. And those other gods aren't gods at all. And he had this other mindset. Ironically, the Jewish mindset at the time also looked like this. We're closed off to the other nations of the world because we need to protect what we have. Whereas the Greeks were open to ideas and the Jews, even though they were God's people and should have been going into the world and sharing the goodness of God, they were closed off. Yeah. And here you got Timothy growing up with this. And can you imagine Timothy going out with his dad and they go to like a little Greek deli to get some falafel or whatever. He's like, hey, try this ham. And Timothy's like, mom says we can't eat pork, you know. And his dad's like, you're with your dad and we're at the deli. Enjoy this and try the hummus, you know. And he's just probably trying to wonder. And like if you've ever talked to kids that are from a broken family, the rules are different with mom's house than they are at dad's house. And here Timothy's got that. Sometimes Timothy's probably over with his mom and they go to like a church service and there's worshiping and kids are like, oh yeah, but we heard that you're not like us because your dad's a Greek. And when they should have been open to him, they're closed off to him. Can you see the dilemma that Timothy's with? As I began to think about that, I started to think about the kids that are going to our church. And we got a lot of young people at our church. And I started thinking, this is almost every single young person that I know feels like they're split between the two sides of their family, between their Christian faith and their non-Christian faith. They have Christian friends and they have non-Christian friends. And they can't do everything they want to go do with the non-Christian friends because they're still part Christian. And they can't do, they don't like everything about their Christian friends that are so insular and like remove them from the world. And they don't know where they fit. And I went, this is who we are. I can tell you this is who I am. I don't know about you, but if we're honest, I struggle with the dark side and the light side. I want to do some good things, but I also kind of like some bad things. Come on, let's not lie. Hello, everybody. And so there's a thing inside of us that's torn between these things, and we're kind of half and half, and it wrestles with our identity and causes us to lose our confidence in knowing who we are. And we go, I'll never have influence because I'm not Christian enough, or I'm not this enough. And I'm telling you, people think like that. Here's what God began to show me. Timothy doesn't have a disadvantage. He has the unique disposition to reach two different cultures. It wasn't a disadvantage. When Paul shows up into town, he goes, hey, I like this kid. Where's he from? He's from this city here. You need to know he's Jewish and Greek. And Paul's like, I like that. We're going all over the world. I need somebody that knows how to relate to Jewish people, and I need the same person to be able to relate to the Greek mindset. And he goes, young man, you might have not fit in your whole life, but you're going on tour with me, and we're changing the world for Jesus. And I just want to say to you that if you ever have felt a tear, a split, a wondering if you could make a difference, if you could have influence, the answer is yes. And God will never waste a struggle that you've been through. He'll never waste an addiction that you had to fight. He'll never waste a season where mentally you didn't know if you were going to make it to the next morning. He'll never waste a part of your upbringing and it counts for nothing. God always redeems and blesses and turns things that are disadvantages. He can take those things and somehow turn them into advantages for his kingdom in our life. I'm telling you, the things that I have been addicted to, the things that I have struggled with, the doubts that I have wrestled with about the realities of faith and does this even make sense? God doesn't look at those things in my life and go, you're disqualified. He goes, now you get how people at Walmart think and feel every day, and I'm going to use you to reach these kind of people and these kind of people. Yeah. And I started to think this, that maybe God wants to make our churches Timothy churches intentionally, where our churches are not for Christian people and they're not for just seekers or, you know, non-Christian people. What? Because everywhere Jesus went, he could draw a crowd of people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I go, God, help us to be a Timothy kind of church and have influence with every kind of people. Yes. I hope this is stewing something on the inside of you. I hope it's stirring something in you. Man, I remember in our church we've intentionally, because we started our church 9 years ago, we've intentionally tried to be a church that has open doors, and I will change my preferences for the purpose of sharing the gospel. Sometimes our music is just too loud. And if you thought your music was too loud here today, come to New Vintage and you'll come back home. And you will give Jill flowers and money. You'll just be like, thank you. Sometimes our church has been too loud. And I go, man, I feel like it's too loud. And I go to some of the young people and go, guys, was that too loud? They're like, no, man, my friends loved it. And then we have our just like different things. And I go, okay, the preferences that I feel as I'm getting older don't matter as much as the purpose matters. And so we've tried to have that. And so we have people come in. And last Sunday, I got to talk to two people who came in after the church service, who prayed the prayer to start following Jesus, who come up and talk to me afterwards. They're like, thank you, Pastor. And I can just smell the alcohol on their breath at the 9 a.m. service. And I'm like, God, keep reaching people who are so hurting that they're drinking in the morning before they come to church. And I'm like, this is amazing. And we have had homosexual people come into our church, just not even hiding it like it's an internal struggle, just this is who I am, you know, and just sharing who they are. And people weeping and crying. We've had people who have just been completely away from God, even though we're raised in a Christian household. They come in and people in town go, I used to party with that girl. I used to do drugs with that guy. And I go, come on, isn't that awesome that they're here in church today? And they're like, yeah. And those people end up weeping and crying, going, I can't believe I never thought church could be like this. What do you mean Jesus can actually forgive me? And all that matters is, honestly, if I just turn in my mind and go, God, I'm humbly sorry, and I genuinely want a fresh start. That's enough for God to take me on his team. Yes, Timothy, it is. Yes, it is. Doesn't matter how your life has been, good or bad. It matters that amount of turn. Here's the irony part of the message. The irony part of this message is this, that it says that Paul, when he goes and takes Timothy, and they go to these different towns, and they preach. It gives us a preview of what they preached about. It says that they went and they told all the churches what the elders in Jerusalem told them to go tell everybody. So like Paul's literally on a preaching circuit because they don't have the internet. So he's literally, you know, going town to town. And so we're in Acts chapter 16 when this happens, when Paul meets Timothy and says, come with me and help me with this message. And so what happens is, it's an interesting thing because if you go back to Acts 15, here's the message that they had decided. They got all these missionaries, all the people like Paul who've been preaching all over the world. They all came back together and they had this like get together and they had a council. And they said, hey, we have a dilemma. We're going out. We were starting to preach to the Jews and Jews were starting to follow Jesus. But we have this good problem where now Greeks and pagans and all the other nationalities are also turning to Jesus. And so because of that, what do we tell them to do? Should they get circumcised? This was the big thing that all the Jewish people said. They can believe in Jesus, but they got to be circumcised. Now listen, 8 days old for a young male, great. I don't remember mine. You probably didn't remember yours. Anything after that, you know, what are you going to do? And literally the question probably was like, they're sitting around the table in Jerusalem going, look, I have a 75-year-old pagan guy in Macedonia. Are we really going to make him get circumcised to go to heaven? And the elders decided this. No, if people will just avoid the eating practices of the pagans, and if they will abstain from sexual immorality, that's good enough. And so it says that when they went back from that and preached everywhere, the churches were happy, especially the men. They're like, yeah, I've been given the offering this week, brother. Absolutely. And so Paul comes riding into town and he goes, hey, good news. I'm here to announce. If you weren't circumcised, it's okay. You don't have to be like the Jews because that's not what Jesus is about. Except for you, Timothy. I know a guy. And so it says in deference to the Jews, Timothy has to do a personal sacrifice, painful, embarrassing, ironic, because here's the irony. He was going to go on the tour with Paul to preach to all the other towns about how you didn't have to be circumcised. Are you catching the irony? If not, you're sleeping or playing Angry Birds or something, right? Okay, so sometimes God will ask you individually to give something up in deference for somebody else to hear about Jesus. I live in wine country in Washington, and everybody's like, oh, have you tried this new Cabernet Sauvignon? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just riding in my Hyundai, you know, cilantro. I don't know anything. I'm not cultured. I don't know about the wine. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I just go, man, I just would love to just go drink some wine. And sometimes after a Sunday service, you know, people I got to deal with in my church, I'm like, absolutely, take me to wine country now. But you know what? I've given that up, not because I'm against alcohol, but because I go, I got people in my church and I got friends that are 5 days sober, 30 days sober, and I don't want to hurt them. So I'm going to give up my personal preference. I'm going to have some irony, and I'm going to preach that you're free in Jesus to do whatever you want to do as long as it keeps you in freedom, but I'm personally not going to enjoy that. I remember one time God asked me to give up movies, and I love movies, for a whole year. And I'm like, God, are you serious? Like, why? And I don't know. Can I just say this, though? I started getting this weird attitude with people who were going to movies during that year. I'm like, you went to the movie? Oh, yeah? Probably also going to hell, you know, like just started judging everybody else. I'm like, you know, that it's not R-rated. That R is actually a satanic symbol. And you know, like I just would get weird and judgmental because I was restricted. I was just angry at everybody else who was free. And I just want to say this in the irony of what God might specifically ask of you, just give that up and don't put that on anybody else. If it's in the Bible and it's a biblical rule, come on, if you're accountable, that's great. But otherwise, just let it go. You're not answering for them. You're answering for you. And sometimes God will ask you and me to give up something to gain some influence. I want to be like Timothy. Except for the circumcision part. You know, like, all right, no, all right, enough of that. Let's go after In our church, let's go after God's normal, where the churches grew every day. And part of it was because there was people like Timothy who said, man, my upbringing, who I am, and the things I've struggled with, I don't know if God could ever use me. And God goes, I can, I want to. And I'm putting you on the tour bus. I'm going to make you a spokesmodel for this thing. You're going to tell people. And you go, well, because of my past. Right. But that gives you an audience of understanding with people who are in that right now. Can I pray with you? I got to end. Jesus, thank you so much. This isn't just an ending prayer. This is like for real for me. Thank you so much for taking me in with all that I've done and all the things that I didn't do that I should have. God, thank you that you're not going to waste any of the struggles of my life. You're going to use those. I pray the same thing for every single person here in Columbia Heights. Pray that you would give them courage and give them a sense that you're going to use their life. As we're praying, I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed and stay off your phone for the next 30 seconds if you would. I would love to give you the same incredible offer that somebody gave to me one time in a church service. And that offer is the same offer that Paul gave to Timothy and all the people of the town, that you can follow Jesus regardless of who you are and what you've been involved with or what you're about. What it takes to follow Jesus is not knowing everything about Jesus. It's putting trust in him and going, Jesus has got to be better than the way I'm doing. I'm going to let him lead my life. I think that if you can have the humility in prayer to legitimately speak to God honestly from your heart and say, I probably haven't done it right and I need you to forgive me. And then you have the faith to say, I want to follow you and I will learn about you. And I'm going to go after that with you, Jesus. You're going to be my best new first priority relationship in everything in my life. That's enough of a mindset and enough faith that God responds to. And so maybe you're in like this building today. And I don't know everybody's story for sure. I don't know hardly any of you here. But if you go, I don't have a relationship with Jesus in my life, but I would love to be in on that deal. I would love to be in on that prayer. Man, I'm going to pray with you the same way I would in my church. And here's what I do at my church is I just have everybody's eyes closed and I'm going to stay where I'm at and you're going to stay where you're at. But if you go, Pastor, I want in on that prayer because I need to start following Jesus today. I'm going to pray with you. I just want everybody's eyes closed. I have my eyes open. I'm going to ask you to stick your hands straight in the air if I'm praying this prayer with you today. Do it right now. Just stick it up high enough for me to see it. It's wonderful. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. It's awesome. Come on. Thank you. Y'all can put your hands down. We're going to pray with these six or seven people. And I'd like to do this. This is, would y'all open your eyes? You can look at me. I'm still good looking. You can look at me for a second. I think it'd be awesome if the whole church prayed this prayer together with these six or seven people. And so I'm going to just lead us into prayer. I'm going to say a few words, and you're going to say a few words back. And this prayer, though, is going to be a life-changing moment for you. So pray this with me, all right? Jesus, I'm coming to you in prayer. And I'm coming to you in faith. And I know I need you. And I know I've blown it in my life. Would you forgive me? Give me a clear conscience. And a brand new start. And would you fill me with your spirit and bring me back to life on the inside? I'm going to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. So awesome.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Matt. Hey, can we do something just as we close here today? Would you stand with me? And let me ask Jill just to lead us just in a corporate closing out of the last song, Jesus, How I Need You. And can we just sing that chorus? And if you raise your hand, would you Would you just reach out even more in faith right now and just say, Jesus, man, I need you even more. And maybe you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus here today. Man, would you just sing this just with faith today and allow faith to rise up in who you are? So come on, let's sing this chorus real quick.
Jesus, Jesus, oh, how I need you. You stay the same. You are good in your ways. Jesus, Jesus, oh, how I need you. You are enough. All my trust is in you, Lord. See, you're powerful. And you are powerful, God above it all. I believe in you. I believe in you. You do miracles, the impossible.
First, if you raise your hand to receive Christ, you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to take your next step. We have someone that's out in our lobby at our Next Step table, and we want to just put some resources in your hands so that way you can take your next step with Jesus. We have a Following Jesus book that we want to give to you. It's a simple, simple thing that literally, it's like a devotional. If you just read one chapter, literally one chapter is like a couple pages. And it'll just help you take your next steps in following who this amazing Savior is called Jesus. And so we want to put that in your hands. Secondly, man, we want to help you take your next step in water baptism. And you can find out information right out there at the Next Step table. If you're new here today, you text in new to 360-578-2424 or you fill out a Connect card. Man, would you go by the new here table? We have a gift for you. We want to be able to connect with you. And lastly, if you're here today and you're not in a Connect group, it is not too late to get plugged into one. Okay, I know that they've already started this last week, but you know what? Man, you need to jump right in. Man, we have Connect groups out there in our lobby, and so you could go and check one of those groups out, sign up. If you have questions, please come and ask us. If you need prayer for anything, man, we're going to hang out here for just a little while longer up here in the front. If you want prayer, man, please come by. We want to be able to pray for you. But I'm just going to pray and say amen, and as soon as I say amen, man, you're released to go. Heavenly Father, you're so good. And God, we thank you for today. Thank you for the challenge. God, I pray right now that you would put people in our path that we could share the amazing love of Jesus to those around us. And so, Lord, give us eyes to see what you're doing in our town, what you're doing in our families, what you're doing in our life. Give us ears to hear your voice more clearly every single day. And so, Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, get plugged into a Connect group. You were not meant to do life alone. So, man, we want to encourage you to get plugged in and take your next step. Go talk to someone at the Next Step table and take care. God bless. We'll see you guys next week.